everybody. It's a minute. It's coming up to 2 minutes after 6 o'clock Central Standard Time. That means it's time for Tawny the Brave here on CKUW 95.9 FM. I'm your host, Dave Berthium. You're you. We're us. Here we are together. Well, if you were listening last week, how fondly you will recall the theme. It was called 1-2-3. And of course, that's just a reference to an artist's first three albums. I'm going to play a cut from each of the first three albums of a particular artist. And the artists I've chosen for that are cases where I feel like the first three albums tell a story about the artist's trajectory or something like that. In fact, the first one up is not really quite a story like that, although Ultravox clearly were moving from, you know, some kind of punk new wave thing into more of a synth pop thing that essentially was a launching pad for singer John Fox's career, since he was the frontman and primary songwriter. But also, it was only those first three albums that featured John Fox. He was replaced by Scotsman Midjura, and the band went off in kind of a little bit of a different direction naturally after those first three albums. And John Fox got sort of more deeply into more synth pop and kind of Gary Newman-esque territory. But a wonderful thing about early Ultravox records is the featuring of violin in the mix. Maybe a little something they picked up from Roxy Music. Who knows? But certainly this first track that we're going to hear features it quite prominently. It's the major hook of the song, and an epic song it is. We're going to hear a track from all three of those first albums, Systems of Romance, Ha Ha Ha, and the first one was self-titled. In fact, the band was including an exclamation mark in their name at that point, and they soon dropped that for who knows why. But from that first album, we're going to hear a track called The Wild, The Beautiful, and The Damned. This is Ultravox. Three tracks from them on the 1-2-3 edition of Tawny the Brave. Here we go. Thank you.
I'll spit my gold teeth out at you. Your sores are almost big enough to step right inside now. I'll send you truckloads of flowers from all the world that you stole from me. I'll spin a coin in the madhouse while I watch you drown.
Sunset behind your lonely shoulder. You never showed on photographs and you never grew much older.
You flicker like a shaky shadow, moving like a thief.
You never drop your facade and you never seek relief, cause you're the man who dies every day.
Ultravox with a real beauty there, just for a moment, from their third album, Systems of Romance. That was just for a moment. Oh, it's such a beautiful song. And it's really a gorgeous album, although it was less successful commercially, maybe critically as well, as compared with their first two albums, but it really paved the way for a lot of bands that came after who claimed Ultravox as an influence. Before that, we heard The Man Who Dies Every Day from Ha Ha Ha, the second album, possibly my favorite, but I love all three of those first Ultravox albums. The first one, self-titled, had the track that we heard first, The Wild, The Beautiful, and The Damned, and the album as a whole was a little bit more upbeat, maybe catchier, maybe punkier at times. But Ultravox also put out some other material during this, the early John Fox period. And all of that material, if you ask me, is worth seeking out. You're listening to Tawny the Brave here on CKUW 95.9 FM. The theme is 1-2-3, where I play a track from each of an artist's first three albums. And the next band that we're going to hear from, they kind of had a similar thing to Ultravox in that the first three albums sort of stand apart from the whole rest of their canon, because Wire went on to put out quite a few albums. But after those first three, they took a lengthy hiatus. It wasn't clear, in fact, if they were going to put out any more material, but they did. And synthesizers played a bigger part in their future, like Ultravox, but in a pretty different way. And, well, I would say that they were more art-rocky, but they really were always art-rocky. Even on that first Wire album, Pink Flag, I mean, what do you get when you take a three-piece band with an additional singer and nothing else? No accoutrements, no overdubs, no extra instrumentation, and apply a real art rock approach to what they were doing. It's a real unique album in the punk, new wave, post-punk era in the UK at that time. And we're going to hear a track from that, as well as the slightly artier, slightly more produced, but even more acclaimed second album, Chairs Missing. And then 154 came third. Many people name 154 as one of their favorite albums of all time, including Robert Pollard of Guided by Voices, much to my surprise. But it is 154, and I don't know why it's titled that. Oh, wait, that might be a reference. There's a little bell ringing in the back of my head. I think it might be a reference to the number of live gigs they had played to that point. But it's certainly a slightly more oblique record, a little bit less immediate, approachable, certainly less poppy, but there is some catchy songs on there, and the album really stands up to repeated listens. And it was neat that they stepped away at that point, like as though they had said all they needed to say. Of course, they returned and put out lots more records after that. In fact, I think they're still going today. So, from almost the exact same period of time, the 77 to 80 period, we're going to hear a track from the first three Wire albums, starting off with a track from Pink Flag. This is certainly one of the popular songs they ever did. Firehose covered it, and why not? It's a really great song. It's called Mannequin on Tawny the Brave.
Waste of space, no natural.
Wire with the 15th from their third album, 154. Before that was Outdoor Miner, the long version, which for me is far preferable. I don't know why. I find the ending kind of hypnotic, I guess. Plus, I sing along with the harmony that isn't there, and I just need to do that. Yeah, Outdoor Miner from Chairs Missing. The much-lauded Chairs Missing. And Mannequin off the top. You know, come to think of it, I mentioned off the top that Mannequin that we heard at the beginning from Pink Flag, Wire's debut album, was covered by Firehose. Of course, that band featured Mike Watt, formerly of Minutemen. But Mike Watt, solo, also covered the 15th. I can't verify that. I'm just making that up, but I'm pretty sure it's true. So, big Wire fan there, Mike Watt was. And so was Robert. Big Wire fan out there. That was for you. I hope you enjoyed it. You're still listening to Tawny the Brave, for whatever reason, here on CKUW 95.9 FM. It's coming up to 6:34 Central Standard Time. It's an unseasonably warm day, and hopefully it's an unseasonably warm weekend for those of you heading out of town for music festivals or family reunions or beach getaways or whatever. So enjoy it while you can, because it's all about to change. Up next in the theme that I call 1-2-3, satisfying the Australian content regulations that we try to adhere to here at CKUW, it's the Hooter Gurus. And now this one, I have to admit, the first three albums, they don't tell a story as much as some bands' first three albums do. They don't necessarily point the direction or anything. I just love the first three albums. And the fourth album, for me personally, was a little bit of a dud. So, the Imperial period, again, this is a personal opinion, kind of ended after three albums. Although I did like their fifth one, Kinky, very, very much. But I'm going to play a track from those first three albums, as I have some fond memories of seeing the Hooter Gurus a number of times here in Winnipeg. So we're going to hear a track from Blow Your Cool, another one from Mars Needs Guitars. And first up, well, theoretically, we're going to hear a track from Stone Age Romeos, although it must be said that the Hooter Gurus, they don't actually have an article. They're just Hooter Gurus. And I'm not sure if I approve of that, but that's what it is. And in fact, they started off with an article, but French. Initially, they were called Le Hooter Gurus, just to be silly. And they released a single in that configuration under that name. They did change their name to Hooter Gurus and then recorded the classic Stone Age Romeos shortly after and redid their first single, Leilani. One of my favorite Hooter Gurus songs, partly because it's the rhythm is so tribal and the whole song is so epic, and I just love everything about it. So here you go. Here's three from the Hooter Gurus, starting off with Le Hooter Gurus. This is the original single version of Leilani on Tawny the Brave on CKUW 95.9 FM. Violence.
I kiss the ground on which you walk. I kiss the lips through which you talk. I kiss the city of New York where I first met you. You're my darling, don't forget it. Cause I'm the guy who will regret it. I love you more than when I said it, when I first met you. I love the way you talk. Feature in no magazine, but you're the best that's ever been. I'm glad that I met you. Take every day now as it comes. You take the cake, I'll keep the crumbs. I only hear the sound of drums in my heart is that I get you. I love the way you talk.
Like a talent scout. wondering lately, am I crazy to believe in ideals?
What's My Scene from the Hooter Gurus' third album, Blow Your Cool. A song that, to my ears, is the very definition of 80s college rock, back when college rock was a thing. I don't really think it's a thing anymore, but just super catchy songs, guitar-oriented, and not a mainstream hit, at least not here. It was a bit of a hit in Australia, What's My Scene was. But, and as a matter of fact, it was ranked number 67 on a list called the Ozzest 100, which is a list of the most Australian songs of all time. I don't know if anything about the song is particularly Australian, but the Hooter Gurus are particularly Australian, and that's certainly one of their great songs. Before that was Like Wow, Wipeout. That was dedicated from me to Nick, Gary, and Paul, my three bandmates from oh so long ago, with whom I covered that song many, many times, and it was a very fun one to do. From Mars Needs Guitars, possibly to Hooter Guru's finest record, their second album, it took that garage rock spirit and the catchy 60s-informed pop song sensibility of Stone Age Romeos and just put a little bit of polish on it. And the songs, they're just unimpeachable. Every single song on that album is just fantastic. And there's nothing wrong with the first album either, Stone Age Romeos. I'm a huge fan of that one. We heard Leilani kind of from that album. It was actually a version of Leilani that preceded Hooter Guru's first album, but there you have it. You're all caught up. You're still listening to Tawny the Brave here on CKUW 95.9 FM. This next artist is the very embodiment of the theme I've got going here. The theme is called 1, 2, 3, where I play a track from an artist's first three albums if it tells a story to me. Forget about the last band, because that was an exception. But this one definitely tells a story, because after the first three albums, Joe Jackson almost completely changed his band, and he certainly completely changed his sound. He did return to the, I don't know what you'd call it, the new wave, the piano-led new wave pop of those first three albums. And I mean, that hardly sums up what's going on in those albums, but he put out Jumpin' Jive as the fourth album, and then just kind of was all over the map after that. And some of the albums were really quite great, and some of them were fine. Some of them were soundtracks. Some of them were instrumental. One of them was classical. But those first three albums from Joe Jackson, Look Sharp, I'm the Man, and Beat Crazy, they're up here. They're just three of the best 1, 2, 3 pop albums from any artist anywhere. So it's so hard to pick a track in some cases, and certainly from that first Joe Jackson album, Look Sharp, it's a toughie. I didn't necessarily want to play, you know, the big hit, because of course he had a minor entry into the Billboard charts with Is She Really Going Out With Him, and rightfully so. But some of the songs are sort of punky poppy throwaways, and they're still great for that. But I decided to go with the title track. So here's the title track to Joe Jackson's Look Sharp, and a couple more from that guy on Tawny the Brave.
want at least of all to hear. I guess that's when I knew that we'd be more than just good friends. It happened just by chance.
Someone up there makes the sun and sea.
Someone up there brought my girl to me.
Someone up there makes the wind and rain.
Someone up there
took her back again.
And just for once, you can't fight back. No messing with the hand of fate. Oh, no.
The paper ran an ad that had you running to the other side of town. Working for a man I never could make out, but started hanging around. Someone up there got me drinking, got me drunk, and made me put him down.
And me, I knew that we'd be coming to an end. It happened just by chance.
Someone up there makes the sun and sea.
Someone up there brought that girl to me.
Someone up there makes the wind and rain.
Someone up there took her back again. And just for once, can't fight back, no messing with the hand of fate. I guess that's when I knew that we'd be coming to an end. It happened just by chance.
Joe Jackson Band. Joe Jackson and his band called the Joe Jackson Band. That was Someone Up There from his third album, Beat Crazy. An album that I think was a bit of a disappointment at the time, but it really sticks with you if you stick with it. There's a lot of great stuff on there. Maybe not as immediate as Look Sharp and I'm the Man, but a little bit more experimental, but a really great record. And let's just all salute bass player Graham Mabey. Just one of the greatest bass players in the history of pop music. Amazing. It's Different for Girls before that from I'm the Man. I'll send that one out to Laura and Block Parents both, because they all like that song. But who doesn't like that song? It's an amazing song. Another great story with a unique Joe Jackson perspective. Look Sharp off the top, the title track from Joe Jackson's debut album. Up next, it's REM. Their first three albums were, well, again, from a similar period of time, maybe into the 80s a little bit here. I'm not counting the Chronic Town EP. That was kind of their debut. But after the first three albums, they started to step into the spotlight a little bit in terms of mainstream exposure and success, and never really looked back from there. So from those glorious early days when they were the kings of college rock, here's a track from each of REM's first three full-length albums, starting off from Murmur, of course, with Perfect Circle.
put your hair back. You get to leave. 11 gallows on your sleeve. Shallow figured, winners paid. 11 shadows way out of place. And friends, drink another coin of praise. Heaven assumes shoulders high in the room. Heaven assumes shoulders. To win, suit your needs. Speak out sometimes. Try to win.
Yeah.
R.E.M. there. A 1-2-3 from R.E.M. That was Driver 8 from Fables of the Reconstruction, or Reconstruction of the Fable, if you prefer. Because R.E.M. wanted that album title to be flippity-floppity, but everyone seems to call it Fables of the Reconstruction. Maybe it rolls off the tongue a little better. One of my favorite records, to be sure, that's probably the first R.E.M. album I ever had, and I still love it to this day. Pretty Persuasion before that, from Reckoning, and Perfect Circle from their glorious debut, Murmur. Maybe not the most representative song of that album, but just, I don't know, I just heard it recently and went, holy crap, what a gorgeous song. So I felt like playing it. Perfect Circle from Murmur is what we heard. Well, it looks like we got about 14 minutes left. A little less than that. Time for one more 1-2-3 punch. And this time it's from Brian Eno. Brian Eno, in fact, he did put out an album along with Robert Fripp early on called No Pussyfooting, but I'm not counting that because that was a collaboration. As far as full-length proper albums under his own name, the first three do stand as a piece because it was a mere month after he put out his third solo album, Another Green World, that he issued Discreet Music, which is pretty much accepting moments on Another Green World and kind of No Pussyfooting as well, and as other artists as well, particularly German ones. But it was almost like the first shot fired in the ambient music revolution. So and the first three albums were kind of like pop albums. Third one, a little less so. But his voice, which I've said before many times, I just love. He seemed to just create great, catchy melodies, catchy lyrics, and he's got such a gorgeous voice. It was almost a shame he didn't continue just doing pop albums. I, for one, wouldn't have been upset if he did that, but Eno the artist would have not thrived. He wouldn't have been happy with himself, so the guy's got to be happy, honestly. So, yeah, we're going to hear a track from one of the vocal tracks from Another Green World. Kind of a sleeper favorite, one that's grown on me recently from Taking Tiger Mountain by Strategy. And first up, just one of the catchiest, simplest, dumbest songs that Brian Eno ever wrote. The opening track from his first solo album, Here Come the Warm Jets. This is Needles in the Camel's Eye. I'll leave you with these three. Stay tuned for Adult Kindergarten. That's up next, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
lots of cocktail sticks. We saw barbers, the modern mothers, and they looked very good. They looked as if they could. We are the neighbors, the nosy neighbors. We think just like you would. We think just like we should.
From Bristol. Jean-Michel Bézina.
Taking over from the fading day.